Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. You get that? Of course, we would have to say, really, no, we don't understand that. This is really quite beyond our understanding. Those are words that are from the Athanasian Creed, as we call it. We'll confess it a little bit later. This congregation has chosen to take as its name that doctrine, that vital and important doctrine of Scripture that we profess and proclaim today, Trinity. God is one. God is three persons. We make no attempt to explain it, rationalize it, or make it understandable. There are some illustrations that might help, but they all fail in the end. Instead, just as the Creed says it, we worship God. We declare Him. We rejoice in Him. And we do it especially in His infinite grace and kindness because God has revealed Himself through the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God who became one of us, divine from all eternity, yet fully human, born of the Virgin Mary. He became Jesus, Savior, rescuer from death for life. And it is through Him and in Him that God makes Himself known, and God makes this startling claim: a person does not have to die. We can escape death. For that is just what He says to you and me today. Through the power of His word, He says, we will never see death. Well, that was a hotly contested claim at the time. And in reality, it still is today. We see the reaction of certain Jewish leaders of the day. It's here before us. Jesus had said some amazing things before this. He had said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And He told them that if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They chose to ridicule and insult Him. You are a Samaritan and have a demon, they say. Now, by calling Him a Samaritan, which was kind of a racial slur at the time, they accuse Him of a false religion, and not being a true worshiper of God. As demon-possessed, they insinuate that He is being controlled and directed by evil spirits who are out to destroy God's people and the faith of God. But notice Jesus does not even acknowledge the racial slur about the Samaritans, a lesson in itself for us. But He goes on to totally refute their words about being possessed by a demon. No, He says His purpose is to honor God and to bring people to God as only He could do. And then He goes on even to ramp up His claims, and He adds the words, which we translate truly, truly, they mean of a certainty. It's as if He's saying, I assure you beyond any possibility of doubt of this, if anyone keeps my word, that one will never see death. Never? Really, does he mean that? We won't see, that is, experience death? What about the grave? What about those loved ones who have departed this life? What about you and me as we age, as we become ill, as fatal accidents happen? As we look at countless cemeteries, memorials, entombments, and even great fields of death across the world. Well, notice He does not say that we will not see the grave. He does not say that we will not go through temporal death, that is, death in time, or that we will not live under what the psalmist calls the shadow of death, that is, those deep and dark valleys of sorrow, pain, and suffering in this life. He does not say that we will not mourn the loss of loved ones, as He Himself did Even when he knew he would raise his friend Lazarus, he wept at his grave. During our sojourn through this life, we still live in a broken and fractured world due to sin and rebellion against God. But death does not have the last word. He means what he says. Never see death. For through him, death becomes the gateway to life. A life that goes on even though we die. And a life that will be renewed perfectly in the glory of resurrection when he comes to restore all things. That promise also causes us to rise to a new life here and now as well. To walk, as the Apostle Paul said, in newness of life, in a life of hope, of purpose, of joy, and peace. That is his promise. There is only one stipulation, just one. If anyone, and that excludes no one, keeps my word. His word is this: whoever believes in him, that is Jesus, the uniquely begotten Son of God, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die, for I am the resurrection and the life. His word is what he did for you and me on his cross, there offering the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, for yours and mine. His rising from the dead as the sure and certain promise of our resurrection. The sending of his Holy Spirit to renew and regenerate us by faith in him and to give us the very thing that he calls for here, that is, keeping his word. A radical faith that clings to him persistently and tenaciously in spite of everything and anything to the contrary. Yes, that is his promise. Never see death. And it is even either true or Jesus was stark raving mad. There is no other choice. And there are many today who still refuse to believe it. They may not be quite so hostile as the opposing Jews were at the time, but it amounts to the same thing when it is said, for example, Jesus is just one among a whole host of religious and teachers, not the one and only revelation of God in the flesh of a man. Or everybody dies. Claims about living beyond death, that's just superstition. Exaggerated and pious wishes and dreams. Such things as that all stand in direct opposition to the words of Jesus. If anyone keeps my word. But there's more, much more. In response to his opponents who wonder, who does he think he is? Do you think you are greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets? His answer, in essence, says yes. Greater than all of them put together. For he is the only one who truly knows the Father, and nobody can ever hope to know God. And notice he doesn't say understand, but truly and personally know him apart from Jesus. And then his words come down like a thunderbolt from heaven. Before Abraham was, I am. That is God's own personal name, given to Moses in the burning bush, the name so sacred to the Jews that they wouldn't even speak it aloud. And he applies it to himself. He is saying in clear language that he is the great, living, true, and only God standing before them in human flesh. Well, to them this was blasphemy worthy of death. But to us, on the other side of his empty tomb and in the power of his Holy Spirit, it is the truth. And it is the assurance that his promise is not idle speculation or empty words. We do not have to die. We will, through him, truly never see death. Now, all of this, these are not mere doctrinal statements in some dry and dusty book about a triune God. This is life. It is the certainty of this, that God, who is beyond our comprehension, who fills the universe, who brought it all into being, has come down to you and me and to all. For the Creator is Father. He is your Father, who wants only the very best for you. So much so that he sent his one and only divine Son, God the Son, to be Jesus the Savior, the one who gives us new life and forgiveness through his cross and resurrection. He is your brother, who knows and cares and carries you through life into eternal life. And he sends his Holy Spirit to you through the washing of water with the Word, speaking to your heart and life with the words of Jesus as you trust him, no matter what comes your way. For the Spirit is always bearing witness to your spirit. The promise is true. Anyone who keeps the word of Jesus will never see death. We don't understand or comprehend any of that. We believe it, and we worship the one and only God who makes it so, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We live by it, and we die by it, only to live again. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.